I want to draw your attention this afternoon to some words that we find in the Gospel of Matthew. And in the chapter 1, it details for us the account of our Saviour's birth. We're told of Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's just bow the word of prayer, seek God's help for the preaching and the hearing of his word. Our Father in heaven, again we do rejoice in the praises that have been offered unto thee this day, to remember and to be refreshed once again as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we have opportunity now to consider the truth of thy word and to preach its message, we ask for help to be given, both to the preacher and to the hearer, and that in all things that our attention might be given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless thy word to our hearts, we pray, and we ask once more in our Saviour's name. Amen. It's the words of verse 21 that I would bring to your attention this afternoon, where we are told concerning Mary that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now today, names don't mean very much. Parents pick names for their children for a variety of reasons, some just to be different. Others pick names that are obscure. Some will pick a name simply to honour a hero or a family member. But there was a time when there was a special significance behind the choice of a name. Now, William Shakespeare said that a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. And for us, names are simply ways to tell people apart. And the names that we have been given, well, my name, for instance, Ralph, comes from the word wolf or wise counsel. I don't know what my parents were thinking about when they named me that. But when you think of some of the names that we have, I'll pick a few, not quite at random. I'll go through the deacons of the church. Noel, for instance, his name comes from the French Noël, which means Christmas. No doubt he was born in around this time of the year. George, his name means farmer or earth worker. Arthur, there's a little bit of obscurity as to what his name might mean, but it means kingly. So that's a very noble, regal name for our deacons. Noble names. And they were probably chosen not so much for their meanings, but for how they sounded, or to honour that family member, or simply because our parents liked the way that they sounded. But in Bible times, things were different. Names were given for a reason. Names meant something. People were expected to live up to their names, or down to them in some cases. Jacob, for instance, his name means trickster. And he certainly was a tricky character. He sought to deceive and to con everyone he ever met. David, his name means beloved. Abraham means the father of a multitude. Moses was given his name because he was drawn out of the water. The names had significance. Well, the hymn writer said that there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. And of course he was referring to the name of Jesus. It's a name that we know well. We've heard it often. For in the day that it was given to this little child in Bethlehem, it was a very common name. It was a name that belonged to one of the heroes of the Jewish people, that of Joshua. So when you read of Joshua in the Old Testament, be reminded that it is the same name that's found in the New Testament when we read the name of Jesus. They're both the same name. In a similar way that the name John can be found in different varieties across the world. We have John in England, and we have Sean in Ireland, and we have Hans in Holland, and the name John. Well, the name Jesus and Joshua are identical. And when the Saviour was born in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, there would have been many other children named Jesus. But there is one throughout history that stands apart, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. When the angel came to Mary to bring her the news that she would bring forth a child who would be the Son of God, she was told that his name would be Jesus. A little later, when Joseph received a similar message from the Lord, he was told concerning Mary that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. When the baby was eventually born, and upon the reaching 8 days of age, Mary and Joseph brought him to the local temple or synagogue to be circumcised, and when they were asked as to the name of the child, they obediently said, his name is Jesus. I want us to think for a moment or two this afternoon about this wonderful name that's been given to the Saviour of men. It's a name that declares his identity. A name that declares his identity. You see, we read in the Gospel of Luke concerning the child that would be born to Mary, that he is the Son of the Most High. He's the Son of the Highest. That tells us something about who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. There, Luke chapter 1, verse 32. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. This is a baby like no other baby. He's the Son of God, the eternal Son who existed with his Father. There would come a time when he would step into our existence, out of eternity, born through the womb of the Virgin Mary in fulfillment of ancient prophecies. Isaiah had prophesied that the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel simply means God with us. That's who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is God with us. So when he was born as the Son of the Highest. So when we give him the name Jesus, we are naming him with the very name of God. Not only is he the Son of the Highest, but the verse goes on to say that he is the King of Israel. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now let's remember that Jesus was born to humble people. Born to a young maid and to Joseph, who would be an adoptive father to him, but they were humble people. Yes, they were descendants of King David, and the Lord had promised to King David that a descendant of his would ascend the throne and be crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And unlike every other king that came from the line of David, this king would reign forever. So when we say the name Jesus, we are referring to one who would be King of Kings. It says in verse 33 of Luke 1 that he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's a phrase that dates back to the book of Genesis. They shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. when he was upon his deathbed, Judah called his sons before him. And he came to his oldest son Judah and he said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Now who is Shiloh? Well, the name Shiloh simply means he whose it is, or the person to whom it all belongs. It's a reference to the supreme ruler who would one day come, unto whom the gathering of the people would be. In other words, we're thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who will cleanse his people from their sins, the one who would gather all things unto himself, the one who possesses all things. He will be the ruler who shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So when we use the name Jesus, we're talking about the one who is the Son of God, who is the King of Kings, who is the ruler of all nations. Is it any wonder that the angel said, "He shall be great"? He is great in his importance. There's no other birth in human history as monumental as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, our very calendar and our dates are dated to his birth. His coming into the world is the single most important birth in all of history. The first man, Adam, his was a miracle birth. He was formed out of the dust of the ground, and he was made into the image of God. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living soul. But of course he sinned. And he brought death and condemnation upon himself and upon his descendants. He brought shame and disgrace and curse upon the world and all of his offspring. But then comes the second Adam, who would fix everything that the first Adam broke. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, this too was a miracle. But not this time was man made in the image of God, but God would be made in the image of man. And when the Savior was born, he was born without sin, and he lived without sinning, and in his death he died for all of the condemnation that we had accumulated. God caused the light to shine out of darkness and life to spring out of life. He will be great. He is our hero. It's a name that declares his identity and it declares his poverty. We said already that the angel had come to a young maid by the name of Mary. She was engaged to Joseph to be married. He was a carpenter by trade. But they would have been a poor family. And when you look at his birth, we see that exemplified in the fact that he was born in a manger. His mother laid him in a trough that the barnyard animals would have used for their feed. The reason for that, there was no room to be found in the inn for them. Now the inn isn't like a travel lodge or a motel or somewhere we might like to stay. It was a dingy place, a seedy place. If you could afford it, you would have stayed in a private home or somewhere more suitable. But the family of our Savior could afford no such luxuries. And when they come to the inn, they find it filled to capacity. There's no room for them. They're forced to spend the night with the animals. And it was there that Mary delivered to us the Son of God. It's a name that will be forever associated with his poverty, with the sacrifices that he made for his people. Let's remember that the one who was born was none other than the King of Glory. The Apostle Paul said, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be rich." Imagine the Lord of glory coming into this world, but he didn't come as a king. He came as a humble servant. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a manger. He knew all about poverty. He knew all about weariness and hunger and rejection and loneliness and temptation and all of the rest of the trials that we face as human, as part of the human condition. Why? That he might identify with us and understand us and comfort us in all of our trials. The name Jesus reminds us that though he was the creator of all things, that while he lived in this earth, he possessed nothing that wasn't given to him by others. He lived off the gifts of those that cared for him. In order to finance that trip to Egypt, his parents received gifts from the Magi that travelled to welcome his birth. When he had to pay his taxes, he got the money, the coin that he needed from the mouth of a fish. When he died, the only possessions that he had was a garment for which the soldiers gambled. While he lived, nearly every significant event utilized something that was borrowed or that had been intended for someone else. He borrowed a boat from which he would preach. He borrowed a donkey on which he would ride. He borrowed a room in which to celebrate the Passover. He borrowed a cross, for it wasn't his, upon which he would die. And of course, they laid him in a borrowed tomb and he was buried. He who had possessed all things gave it up, that we might be given all things, willingly laid it aside so that we might become the heirs of all things. When we use the name Jesus, we think not only of his identity, but of his poverty, but we also think especially of his ministry. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. His name declares his ministry. It declares the purpose for which he came. He has come to save his people from their sins. And how would he accomplish that? By going to the cross and dying in their place, being judged by God for their sins. The Lord Jesus did not come to this world to be a teacher, though no one ever taught like him. Nor did he come to be a healer, though he healed every sickness that he ever encountered. He didn't come to raise the dead, though he broke up every funeral that he ever attended. Nor did he come merely to perform miracles, though he accomplished many. He came to die upon the cross. He came to give his life a ransom for sinners. He came to this world to die for those whom he loved. He said himself, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Every second that he lived, from the moment he was conceived until the time that he cried out, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost, his purpose was to die for our sins. Let me make it even more personal. The reason the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven was for you and I. The reason that he lived, the reason that he died, the reason that he rose again, the reason that he ascended to heaven, he did it for you and he did it for me. Here's what the Lord Jesus said: I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So when we use the name Jesus, We are called upon to remember the great price and the sacrifice that he made to save us from our sins. When we use that name, we are remembering his unconditional love, his selfless sacrifice. And every time we breathe that name, we're talking about the God who loved us so much that he was willing to bear our sins upon his own body and suffer the judgment of God that was rightfully ours. His name declares his identity and his poverty and his ministry and his glory. Again, let me remind you what it says in Luke 1 and verse 33. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. He shall reign. He shall reign. It refers to a king who rules in majesty. Mary's baby is no ordinary baby. Mary has given birth to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. While he lived in this world, no one recognized his majesty. No one saw his glory or bowed to his authority. He grew up before us as a tender plant, Isaiah said, a root out of dry ground. We saw no beauty in him that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They didn't want him. He came unto his own received him not. Some saw only a poor carpenter. Others saw him as a revolutionary that stirred up the people. Some saw him as a healer. As he looked upon him, as he brought Lazarus forth from the dead. Some witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. Even Pontius Pilate acknowledged him as an innocent man. The centurion that stood at the foot of the cross realized that this truly was the Son of God. No one truly saw him for who he was, not fully understanding. He lived and died amongst men, and very few even had the slightest idea who it was that walked amongst them. But there's coming a day when the world will know who he is. When he returns in glory, his enemies shall know. And they'll call upon the very mountains to fall upon them and to cover them from the brightness of his appearing. And when he comes and the trumpet sounds, the children of God shall be raised unto his side to be with him forever. And one day the following passage will be literally fulfilled, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day the name of Jesus will be proclaimed from heaven, and when that precious name is uttered, every knee of every saint of God will bow in humble worship and reverence. The knee of every angel shall bow in acknowledgement of his lordship and glory. The knee of every devil in hell will bow, and Satan himself will bow in recognition that Jesus Christ is Lord of glory. And my friend, one day you will bow. Now it may be that you have not bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ before. You have not bowed to make him Savior and Lord of your life, but one day you will bow. But will you bow before him as your Savior or as your judge? Will he be your Savior or your judge? But you will bow before him. So when we say this name and sing this name and breathe this name, when we shout this name, when we whisper this name, we are proclaiming the greatest name that has ever been heard He's the Savior of the lost, the Shepherd of the sheep, the Redeemer of the soul. He's the blessed Bridegroom of the Church of God. He's the Lover of our soul. He's the very glory of heaven itself. He's the one who calls himself our friend, the true and living one. That's him. And so much more. Tell me, is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ precious to you? Is he your hope and your peace and your love and your salvation and blessing and healing and wonder and joy and glory and majesty? The Apostle Peter says that those that know him, that to them he is altogether lovely. He's altogether precious. What a wonderful name. But the name of Jesus, hell trembles, and Satan flees, and sin is defeated, and captives are delivered, and fear gives way to peace, and the hopelessness is swallowed up in victory. The lost are found, and the blind see, and the dead live. The name of the Lord Jesus, drunkards are made sober, and the corrupt are made pure, and the addict is delivered from his addiction. The lost are saved, and new life begins. What a lovely name. It's a name that marks the difference between heaven and hell, between life and death, between hope and despair, between judgment and forgiveness. If you are in Christ, you are saved. If you are outside of him, you are lost. Is Jesus your Savior? There is no other name that is given amongst men whereby we must be saved. As we read in the Acts of the Apostles, no other name under heaven that is given amongst men, no other name but Jesus whereby we must be saved. There is but one Savior. There is but one King and one Lord before whom you must bow. And at this time of year, while we remember the babe that was born in Bethlehem, please remember that that babe went all the way to the cross at Calvary to deliver us from our sins, to free us from the judgment of God, to make us ready for a heaven. You say with the hymn writer, "Oh, what a lovely name, sweetest I ever heard." Have you bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed him to be your Savior and your God? "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins."